Our third reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
We are still looking at our series in the Bible where God calls people by their name twice. And today, while not directly related to the resurrection, we'll see, hopefully you'll see how it is indeed related. We are still celebrating and focusing on the resurrection and all we are doing this morning. And as we jump into this, I want to remind us all that making choices is hard. Can be hard. Sometimes it can be easy, but sometimes making the right choices can be really difficult. And we're going to see how this passage, the resurrection, is full of choices. Choices God makes, choices his son Jesus makes, and choices that we, too, need to make. But for some reason, again, choices can be hard for some of us. I was reminded of a time when I was younger, and at the beach we used to go to, there wasn't a lot going on there. There was one little shop at the beach, and one time my aunt and uncle decided to let my cousin and I go to the shop and buy some candy. And they gave us $2 to go buy the candy. The store was 5-minute walk down the sand road. There was nothing else around, and they were a little bit nervous because we were kind of young, but they were like, "Well, we can see them," and they let us go, and we only had $2 to buy candy. Now, this was, a few decades ago, candy wasn't that cheap. We were gone over 2 hours, and my aunt was starting to get nervous, and my uncle was like, "I got an eye on the store. We'll see what happens when they come out." Around 2.5 hours later, we came out of the store with a little bag in hand. And we walked in, and they were like, "What were you doing?" And they were like, "Well, we were trying to find which candy we wanted." And apparently, we spent 2.5 hours with $2 staring and looking at every single piece of candy in the store to make that important decision of what candy are we going to buy. I don't know about you, that was a big decision. The decision that we're talking about today are even greater than picking out which candy you're going to get on your first trip to the beach store. Let's look at that as we pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for sending your Son. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would work in our hearts, that we would be filled with the hope and joy of the resurrection, that we would die to sin and become more alive to you. Father, we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So again, we're talking about the resurrection and how making choices matter. Let's look at verses 38 through 40. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Now, you can see from the very onset of this passage that there's something here about losing your focus and what's most important. And we'll talk about what this is and isn't saying as we work through it. But we can see that at the heart of this, somebody is losing their focus. Either Mary has lost her focus or Martha has. And we already read the ending. We know where it's going to lean. But at this point, we know someone has lost their focus. Someone has lost sight of the big picture. Well, what is the big picture for today? It's the resurrection. What is the big picture of the Bible? The resurrection. What is the big picture of our faith? It is the resurrection. The resurrection is the proof that we have eternal life. It is the proof that our sins indeed are paid for. It is our proof of purchase, if you will. Just recently, we had to return something we bought a few months ago. And the only thing they wanted to know is, where's your receipt? Prove to me that this was paid for. And we showed it to them, and they replaced it. In the same fashion, the resurrection is the proof, the receipt that our sins, though many, have been paid for, that we have been redeemed. But as I talked about choices, when you think about the resurrection, I want you to understand that the story is full. The event is full of choices. God chose his son Jesus to die for us. Jesus himself chose as well to die on behalf of our sins. Luke 9:35. God refers to Jesus as his chosen. A loud voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." This is God talking about his son, Jesus. What was he chosen to do? He was chosen to die on a cross for our sins. But again, what is the focus? The resurrection. What does the resurrection mean? Life. The resurrection means we have life. There is life after death. The resurrection means your sins have been paid for. You have life with God. The resurrection is life. Never forget that. This is the main focus of the Bible. And the story with Mary and Martha is just part of one of the events leading up to this. But everything is pointing to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and pointing to what comes later. The resurrection is the center's point of the story. And Martha forgot. What did Martha forget? Well, here comes Jesus. This is not a story about how God says, don't serve, just love Jesus, right? This isn't for you to cancel all your commitments. What happened was, as Martha was serving, she forgot why she was serving. She got so lost in the moment to serve that she forgot who was there to be served. Many people think that probably what was happening was more likely that she was trying to make it more ornate than necessary and just get to sitting at Jesus' feet like Mary was. This can happen in all of our lives where the things around us can make us forget what the point of it was, right? We can get so lost in trying to do school in college, we forget to enjoy being in college. We can get so focused on just trying to be parents, we forget that we get to be parents. We get so focused on jobs and careers that we forget why we have those to begin with. We can get so caught up in dealing with pain and sorrow and suffering that we can forget we have a relationship with God completely. In every wedding I've ever done, as you get closer to the event itself, anxieties and tensions and problems arise up. Whatever they are, they just bubble up. That's just how it works. And I've never failed to remind the bride and groom that as long as you're there, groom, as long as you're there, bride, as long as I'm there, it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. But as we get closer, so many begin to forget the wedding for the wedding. They get so lost in getting ready for the wedding, you forget about the wedding. So Martha is so similar to many of us. But we're talking about faith now. And the big picture we're talking about is not forgetting about the resurrection and how important the choices we make around it are. What Martha needs to do is remember the big picture. And the message of the cross, of the resurrection, is the big picture for us, for those who know Jesus. What we need to do, what Easter is so great about, is we need to make sure that we reset our faith on the resurrection. And what do I mean by that? For many of us, if your faith is not centered on the resurrection, then you, I would argue, are beginning to be a little bit like Martha, and that you're starting to look at other things and forget what you have right there. There is nothing greater, more important, nothing more wonderful than the resurrection. And that's what everything in your life on your faith should depend upon. You should worry less about the moment, day, and time you prayed a prayer to Jesus for the first time and put more energy and hope behind the fact that Jesus was resurrected. Your faith rests on the resurrection of Jesus, not on the day and the time you prayed a prayer. It all rests on the resurrection. We have to choose. We got to follow Christ. But everything is built upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your faith, your reason for believing, is not what you did when you were a teenager or a college student. Your faith, your reason for believing, is what Jesus Christ did on that cross and that he did 3 days later. He rose from it. That is what the resurrection is about. That is what we must center our faith on. We must recenter, and the celebrating Easter is hopefully going to be a reminder to recenter our faith on the resurrection. There's power and joy and hope in the resurrection. And that's where we need to have our faith centered on. If it is centered on the resurrection, then your life, your hopes, your dreams, your wishes, your pains, your sorrows, your fears will be put in the right place. We come to verse 41, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He's saying you have other things in your life that are causing you. You're choosing other things in your life to help you lose focus. Jesus has a word for things that cause us to lose our focus on him. He calls those thorns. When we have faith and we're trying to follow in the things of life, and again, it makes you understand that what when he talks about it here, he's saying when we choose to be anxious about other things, that's what our thorns are. Matthew 13:22. Jesus gave a parable about seed is like faith. That's faith is like seeds that have been planted out. Some seeds get pulled away by thorns. For what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. It's saying thorns are things, again, that distract us and pull us away, but they are not things that are just attacking us. We're giving them attention. Sin is part of our lives, right? This is what happens to us. We are absent-minded in our hearts. We get pulled away, and Jesus says, these are like thorns that prevent you from moving. And he's basically, again, so with Martha, again, it's these, and again, it's not like anxieties that you can't, these are ones you're choosing to give power over you. And you're losing your focus. You're choosing to do that. And again, what's happening in us is the sin is desiring those things. Recently, this probably happened a million times, but recently, I was driving in a car with my whole family, and I was trying to have a conversation with the child directly behind me. And at that important moment, another one of my child decided that was the moment they needed to talk to me. And so I'm trying to talk to one behind me, and the other one starts talking to me. And at that moment, another one of my kids says, no, this is the right moment to get dad's attention. So at that moment, I'm trying to talk to one, another one of my kids is talking, and another one in the back is trying to outdo this one. So it's louder. Each child is louder than the next. And then the next child, all at one moment, all four of them are trying to talk to me. I'm trying to talk to just one. And instead of asking the other ones to stop, I'm thinking I can do this. I can have four conversations at once and end up having no clue what I'm doing. And then I have to tell them to stop. This is like what it's like, that we give our anxieties. We are looking for things to distract us. We are choosing to do that. And God says those are like thorns. What we need is that the loudest, clearest bell ringing in our faith needs to be that of the resurrection. Is that what's loudest in your faith? Or do you have thorns pulling it away? It needs to be the resurrection. It can only be the resurrection. Your faith is only supposed to be centered on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we'll look at verse 42. This is Jesus' gentle rebuke to Martha. But only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Only one thing is necessary. There's only one thing that's necessary. He's saying, Martha, Mary's chosen to be with me. Only one thing is necessary for us to put our faith, to choose Jesus Christ, to trust in the resurrection. And what Jesus says here, she's chosen the good portion. This will not be taken away. She's literally sitting at his feet, but Jesus is speaking literally and figuratively here. This choice to listen to Jesus, to put her faith in Jesus, won't be taken away. This moment right now is not going to be taken away, not by you, Martha, but really, he's talking greater. The choice to listen to him will never, ever, to follow him will never be taken away. Not today, not forever. And one way you can think about that, Martha is saying, this is a bad time for Mary to be sitting there. To which Jesus, in essence, is responding to Martha, Martha, there's never a bad time to hear good news. There's never a bad time to get good news. The gospel is the good news, and it's centered on the resurrection. There's never a bad time for you to center your faith and your life on the resurrection. It is always good news. The greatest choices we can make are about trusting in Jesus and trusting in the choices they make. John 10:27-29. My sheep hear my voice. This is Jesus talking. And I know them. They follow me. I will give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This is a verse where Jesus is explaining that not only did he choose the Son to save us, but God has chosen us. And Jesus is a part of that plan too. Like I said, the resurrection is full of amazing choices. God chose to send his Son. Jesus chose to die on the cross. They have chosen us. Will you choose the resurrection this morning? Are you going to choose to trust in the resurrection over yourself? Will you let the hope, the truth, the reality of the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection influence your life daily? Or will you let your daily life influence the resurrection? Choose the resurrection. Choose to believe in the resurrection. When Jesus is talking about what is it like when we choose to put our faith in the resurrection, Jesus calls that fruit. That's the fruit of being a follower of Christ, that you're choosing to believe in the resurrection over everything else. Passage comes out of John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. When you choose to put your faith in Jesus Christ and the resurrection, you're a part of this eternal life with him forever. When you choose to trust in the resurrection in your daily life, that is fruit. That's the fruit of being united with God. Will you choose the resurrection? God chose to send his one and only Son. Jesus chose to die on a cross for our sins. In their eternal plan, they chose to come and get you. Will you choose the resurrection this morning? Will you choose to put your faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Will you choose to put your faith completely on that moment and not on yourself? He is asking you to choose to do that. He is commanding you to obey him and do that. May your faith, may your life, may your hopes and dreams and wishes be completely centered on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Let's pray. Lord, help us to choose to believe in the resurrection above the pain and sorrow. Lord, help us to choose the resurrection above the good times, the bad times. Help us to choose the resurrection over our own self. Help us to put our faith completely on the fact that you lived, Jesus. You died on a cross for our sins, and that you rose again 3 days later, and that you are coming back to claim us. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. We are now going to celebrate a response to this resurrection, the Lord's Supper.